Welcome to the first show ever of The Corner of Hunter and George. My name is Tim Snodden, and on this podcast, I am trying to bring to you various individuals that I'll be talking to of Peterborough's arts community, or at least with some connection with Peterborough. Maybe they've played here, maybe they have family here, maybe they used to live here, things like that. The first person we're going to have ever on our first episode is someone who's had a fascinating 17-year career in recording music. I think it's been described, her music, as some type of holy blues. I've described it as somewhat eerie. Her voice has a certain beauty that really resonates with you. She is a poet. She is a visual artist, which I suggest you check out. And she is from somewhere around High Park, but has played in places in Peterborough. Her name is Clara Engel, and she is someone I got the opportunity to talk to just recently, and you will hear that interview coming up. So on this show, you will hear me trying to talk to various people involved, directly involved with Peterborough's art community, but sometimes drifting outside to other people who maybe have just been here once or twice, but have played here and have gotten a taste of our town. So enjoy today as I'm speaking to Clara Engel. Yes. So, my name is Tim. I've been doing radio in Peterborough for a while, one show on Trent Radio, nice. but just started one podcast with sort of a similar idea. It's mainly local music, but it's also people who've had any type of experience whatsoever with Peterborough. So it's not a hard, fast rule. So yes. I recently, not too long ago, was finding your name popping up. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me exactly where, but the more I listened to your catalog and realized how extensive it was, I became more and more fascinated. So that's kind of why I've asked you for this. So,
well, thank you.
Yes. I'll just start off today. Hopefully this question isn't too acerbic or out there for you, but I guess I'm just going to ask for you, since I see you're someone who's like mainly music, but obviously in other ways, a poet, visual artist. Mm-hmm. What is kind of like to you, what does creative freedom mean?
What does creative freedom mean?
Yes. Like, what is it to you personally?
To me, I have to think about that. No. I don't even know if I know. Well, exactly. I would say it's quite different from freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Creative freedom. I feel like it's, I'm not sure if I can even answer that, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it more.
We can come back.
Creativity is a realm where I feel the most free in general. Mm-hmm. That partly answers your question.
All right. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Well, in the realm of like the imagination, I feel more free than any other realm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One really interesting thing I've noticed about you is, besides being, certainly a lot of people would describe your lyrics as being poetry themselves, but you yourself has done songs by other poets. Like, I noticed one example was, I noticed you did once, probably a number of years ago now, but one by Paul Celan.
Yeah.
Put his words to music. Mm-hmm. In that case, I guess, are you, in general, are do you have like a piece of music already written before you apply the words, or is it, do you have to like sort of encompass the poem and then write the music kind of thing?
I would say it's more the second. So mm-hmm. I would read a poem and something about it would sort of strike me as musical, so I would try singing it. And some with my own words, like when I write them, even though I read a lot of poetry, I'm always thinking about how the words sound as well as what they mean, like how musical the words are themselves.
Because I've heard various answers from different people, like saying one thing or the other, but and yeah, since I've noticed as well, like I believe your Bandcamp catalog goes all the way back to 2004. I have to ask it for this day and age, especially. What has kept you going for like it'd be 17 years now? Is it something that you've like always sort of trying to challenge yourself more or
I feel like I can't imagine any other way of living, to be honest. Like, I started writing songs when I was pretty young, like 12, 13, and I just, it's part of, for me, it's part of living. Like, it's part of my existence. I think I don't even really understand why I need to do it, but the only times I haven't done it is when I was really ill, briefly, and then I started again as soon as I was better. So it's almost like part of my mode of living.
And what I dare say that it's some ways a way of you finding like a lot of artists to people like sort of finding meaning in a way. And like not just that you've recorded this long, but also that you've put out, I believe, 30 recordings or close to that. So that's almost like a what I call a CCR kind of pace. That's quite a lot of like sometimes you're putting out two or three a year. So
Well, I
that's
think some
quite
of them are shorter though, like just a
yes, like an
some of them,
EP.
I wouldn't call some of them like a two or three song release isn't the same as an album, but yeah, I've been continuously writing songs and releasing them for a long time.
Now, as someone who has a spouse who's kind of a visual artist herself, and she was someone who introduced me to this person a number of years ago, I have to ask you, since you did a sort of an album about her once, how you feel or what attracts you to Leonora Carrington.
I was working with a label who they invite artists to pick an artist in any realm and then write a song cycle based on their work. So I had recently found Leonora Carrington through Remedios Varos, or Varo, sorry, the another artist, and I was just so intrigued and I wanted to see more and learn more. So I used that opportunity to just sort of delve into her work. And I just love the whole world that she creates. It's so, it is like her own alternate reality in a way.
Yes, and like something that's sort of a kind of a theme or often used is kind of her imagery of animals. And I sort of take that with you too, that you have a love of both animals and nature.
I do, yeah.
But like you've said yourself, you live somewhere around High Park in Toronto, from what I've gotten that you've said before. And that's a place I don't think I have to convince you has become more and more crowded. As someone who once lived several years ago around the Junction area, so you're fairly familiar with that. I guess where do you find kind of the like kind of a solace or the ability to sort of be able to be with nature and something that seems to be kind of getting more concrete and crowded, like I said.
Well, High Park is still, I still am able to find pockets of quiet, and you just have to go on the nature trails. And there are off times as well. Compared to some parts of the city, I'm really lucky.
Yes, that is true, but yeah.
I'm also afraid, like I have a healthy fear of being somewhere completely wild. Like I one time had a close encounter with a coyote, and that was a bit frightening. I don't know. I have a healthy respect. I keep my distance.
Do you have any sort of pets or any sort of animals yourself, or
I do. I
do
have 2 guinea pigs.
two guinea pigs, right? Okay, yes, I remember you saying that. Yes.
Very
Yeah,
underrated
that
animals.
yes, they are quite affectionate, yes,
Yeah.
I find.
You have
Yeah,
any?
we're cu yes, three cats currently and one dog, so
Wow.
yeah, it's kind of just something we don't even really sort of think about, and yeah, it's just part of us. And we're kind of blessed too here in Peterborough, especially where we live. Like, we're I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I live right near Jackson Park, so
Yeah.
which is kind of a 25 30-kilometer trail
Oh, that's
kind of
lovely.
nature. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
I've been to Peterborough a bunch of times, but I haven't had a chance to fully explore. So I got the
right.
it's pretty green though, like there's a lot of green space.
Yes, it's I don't know if our municipal government's been the best at setting up our bike trails, but it's kind of an area that if you truly, it kind of needs a lot. You kind of have to bike around here.
Okay.
Some areas actually are pretty good, but for a place this size. But yeah. Yeah, you said you've been here a few times. So what sort of Peterborough experiences have you had, I guess, for
I played a
in
bunch
a
of
local.
there. I played at I'm blanking on the name. Oh, the Garnet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played at the
Okay.
Garnet, and I've played at is it Catriona's?
Yep.
Yeah, I played those are the places. I played the Garnet a bunch of times and Catriona's once.
Okay. Well, yes, the Garnet is still alive and well, so it's
Good.
still
Good to hear.
there. Yeah. I guess after, like, listening to your music, one element, I guess, or one of kind of feeling I get from it is that I kind of parts of it, the sound of it, even sort of the lyrics feel somewhat kind of eerie, somewhat like I'm gonna even go all the way back to the beginning, like when I was listening to Charcoal Morning.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, in some ways. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't know. Does some of this come from a sort of a feeling of you feel like we're kind of living, you feel kind of unsettled about kind of like the universe or society we're living
Yeah.
in a way?
Yeah, I think, oh, you mean sort of an unease in reality and my own skin, probably. Yeah, just but I think that's what draws me to a lot of poetry and even some music, I guess, is just trying to express the unease with life or living. Like even a lot of early blues and folk music makes me think about that. Like it's a place where you can talk about those feelings that really you don't bring up in everyday conversation. Does that sort of touch on what you're saying?
So you're saying it's kind of a way of bridging out and kind of dealing with these feelings, you're
Yeah, kind of
saying?
being able to actually express them or engage with them, feelings that are just by nature kind of hard to pin down or put into words. And I think putting words with music, it almost opens up the meaning of the words when you sing them, because music does, it's by nature so hard to find the right words for music. So it just opens up meaning, I think.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Another person I see that really kind of you must have been influenced by, or at least had a connection with, was the late Jason Molina. I'm just curious how you connected with his music in particular.
A friend lent me Didn't It Rain, the Songs Ohia album a long time ago. And I really love that album. So that was my entry point to his music. I listened to a lot of it for a period of time. I really admire his songwriting. So I at one point when he was unwell, I organized a tribute to him. So that's why that's probably
Oh, right.
what you saw, right?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think that's what I saw,
Yeah.
yeah.
A big loss,
Yeah.
I feel. Still sad to
Yes.
think about that. Yeah.
And certainly one thing you definitely have had going for you since the beginning is your voice, which I, while like I said, it maybe brings out feelings of eeriness, it has a definite beauty to it.
Thanks.
And what is your, I guess, do you have any sort of secrets for keeping it fit after you've been doing this for
Sure.
17 years and 30 recordings?
Well, I don't smoke. I drink a lot of water.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't know. I think just using it, I'm trying to be, it's challenging in lockdown or just whatever this is called now, where there aren't a lot of shows. Because it used to be really something. Like I would rarely go a month without doing a show. So I've just been trying to keep my practice, make sure I sing most days, basically. And my voice was something like I wasn't somebody who was ever praised for my singing voice growing up. In fact, I failed singing in school when I was a kid. So I basically taught, I learned, I've had to find my voice myself, like in my adolescence. So I learned mostly by listening and I came upon some techniques that worked kind of by feel. Yeah.
And did you grow up in the Toronto area yourself, or
I
like
did,
as
yeah.
your
Yeah.
okay, yeah. Yeah, because I don't, maybe I'm missing something, but I don't find even it's really changed radically even over the years.
Toronto.
If I was asked to, like, say, closed eyes, is she singing from, like, 2008, or is she singing now from 2019? I wouldn't be able to
Really,
tell.
I feel I can hear it a change, but that's probably because I'm me. I think also I use different microphones over the years, and that has also colored my voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
Amazing how much that changes your voice.
that's perhaps true. Like I'm not maybe the most inclined musically that way, so there's probably people who could probably pick this out, but I'll just say from my perspective anyway,
Yeah.
it's not very obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even before COVID, I noticed you've done a lot of like sort of home recordings.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to talk about like what are sort of the advantages or perhaps disadvantages of this.
Yeah, I've really learned how to, like, before COVID, I did home recordings, but they were just with a field recorder, just for fun. A lot of kind of instrumental, more improvised guitar type stuff. And then when COVID hit, I realized I really had to find a way to record my songs at home. So I learned a lot. That's how, before that, I didn't know much about microphones either, to be honest. I learned about recording technique, etc. And I'm really happy to be in a place where I can do it at home, but I really miss being able to solely focus on my performance and to work with really good engineers because that's a whole field. I'm kind of concerned about that aspect of music and how, with everyone in these little pods recording themselves, that people who really help facilitate the process, what's going to happen to them? Because I've had some really good experience working with people who just record me and I just focus on singing. So those are my thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
You like it, and we're definitely in this age.
Or you do everything yourself, I think.
Yeah, basically,
I don't
yeah, it's
like
gonna
it. I think it's making people more isolated.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there definitely is that element, like this day and age of having some big time producer in a studio, that's not very common for too many.
Yeah, I don't want
And
to produce you. Just to be clear, I would only, I like engineers more for myself because I hate taking directions about how to structure my songs. I have a my own notions. I've never worked with a producer, but I've worked with some engineers.
Right,
Yeah.
various engineers. And yeah, one thing that like your earlier recordings that I noticed, like almost every recording has like a presence of the cello in it, with at least, you tell me if I'm wrong, at least three or four different people you've had do
Different
have
cello.
that.
Yeah, I do like the cello. And some of
Yes.
the, I know there's one cellist who I've worked with on all the recordings I've made in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Taylor Galassi. And whenever we play together, it's so great, but we live pretty far apart. And we've done two recordings together, and he'll just hear the songs beforehand and then improvise while we play them together. And it goes really well. I think I just love the range and the texture of the cello.
Yeah, no, I love it too. Like, I don't know, just like something as kind of, I guess, traditional as like box recordings. I don't know. I find that always quite a meditative, peaceful thing to listen to. But
Yeah.
yeah,
Totally.
and I, in general, like, I don't know. I found, I guess, your music itself has a variety of sound to it, but it has like there's a number you could say, oh, this would be perfect for this soundtrack. And I noticed you've done one before
I
for
didn't.
one short film, but it often has like a really kind of there's a bit of like melancholy in it. There's a bit of other emotional elements that you could definitely can be used in a lot of different that kind of,
Yeah.
I guess, way. But is there some sort of like thing you're looking for in just simply your sound itself?
I think I am just by nature drawn to more minor keys or more unresolved sounds. Like I don't listen to a lot of, I don't know, overtly happy music, I guess, like polka or something.
Right.
Well, I'm sure I could find some that I liked. I don't like to dismiss any whole genre, but I don't always think I know what I'm precisely looking for, and part of what making music satisfying for me is that process of just searching. Yeah, like I got a cigar box guitar during the pandemic, and having just four strings to work with has been really it. Even though it sounds like a limitation, it's really opened up my approach to songwriting, I think.
Right. I noticed that actually, your
Yeah.
cigar box. So I used to play the guitar quite regularly, but a cigar box, I admit I'm kind of illiterate on. So what is that like? I guess what does it do that
It's
I
different.
convey?
Well, it's smaller. It has four strings. It's extremely ergonomic. I was getting some like muscle problems from playing a larger guitar at one point in time, and I found I can play the cigar box guitar forever with no issues, and it's not as expensive or weird looking as one of the ergonomic guitars that people make. So,
Right.
and it's very compact. I like the idea. I think, the band Morphine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Sandman saying they had a rule, they all had to be able to carry all their gear on their back to all their gigs.
No.
And I like the idea of not having very much gear, so I like the compactness of it. And I also like you can try all different string combinations on it. So right now I have like the four higher guitar strings on it, but I might try mixing it up a bit, like a combination of the guitar strings of the six string set. I don't know. I also think having less to work with is sometimes more of a challenge and more fruitful than having everything at our disposal. Like right now, a lot of music is being made with basically machines or synthesizers and stuff. And on the one hand, the possibilities are endless. On the other hand, I was saying to my partner that I want all my instruments to decompose eventually. Like that's one of my goals. I'd like to have more and more things around me that are just made of sort of like wood and things that will just rust away or something. And I like the like how you can hear the sound of like strings and wood and just things that are a bit more tangible.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of not very in style, I guess, in that respect, which is okay with me.
That's, yeah, I didn't think that bothered you too much. But just so you're looking for something like a little more of a simplicity, not as in simple to play, but a bit more of like
Yeah.
in how it's arranged and done.
Exactly. Yeah. Something. Yeah. Something more part of the natural world, I guess. Yeah. And I also like the idea of repurposed things. Like, I have one cigar box guitar. I'm actually getting another one, and the new one is made of recycled wood, and this one's made of an actual old cigar box. I just get
Nice.
like people who that's what they do. They build these little guitars.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now for this year, you've put out two recordings, I believe.
Wait, I'm confused. I think I've only put out one because no, you're right. Ghost Bird was a collaborative album, is that right?
Yes, yeah. That's what I guess I was thinking of. And I've heard you say on one interview you maybe did in 2020 that you do miss touring, but I guess just in general, what are your like sort of future plans at the moment now that we're
I don't
sort
know.
of opening up, but not really, kind of, yeah.
I'm finding it all kind of confusing. Like, on the one hand, I would like to play shows again. On the other hand, I don't quite feel comfortable yet. Like, I haven't gone out to a whole bunch of things yet.
Right.
I did one show that was recorded in a church, so it was just me, a drummer, and the person recording it, and it felt like a recording. It didn't feel like a show because there wasn't an audience.
Right.
And I hope to do more things like that. That's been kind of one of the scariest aspects of this, is just sort of losing your footing in the rhythm of doing live things and being in touch with people. Because when you're doing it all yourself, you don't have someone else to sort of take care of that aspect or make sure it's still there. So that'll be a challenge of getting back into everything. I'd like to come play in Peterborough again sometime when it's possible.
I would definitely recommend that. Yes. Is there some kind of like also like maybe like I guess the way you get kind of with an audience, are you missing sort of like a feedback that you maybe kind of miss getting from your work that you put out?
Yeah, I guess I miss the presence of, because I have my moods where I feel more sociable on stage, but for me, it's mostly just about putting across the music as well as I can. And it's just something that you can't even put into words when people are there versus when there's no one there.
Right.
You can't, it's so basic. You just know, even when some of my shows that I thought were the worst, I've ended up making one or two enduring, like, fan type people from that experience. Like, you never really know. There's a mystery of what's actually going on in the room when it's full of other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I've heard you describe yourself as a outlier, I believe. You can tell me if
Yeah.
I'm and as someone who kind of I would probably say I'm a bit like that myself as well. What is something maybe that we are able to, is there something maybe we're able to understand, or at least you personally, that perhaps other people who are not outliers have, like some sort of understanding of the world or life?
I don't know about you, but I feel like it probably has made me a better observer. Because not always being included, or like you have a firm foothold in like one group or something, can sort of make you feel more watchful or more. Yeah. And I definitely feel like, as a songwriter, or as just a writer in general, that like has been a good thing for me. Even if it's not always been like a happy thing, it's not always about happiness or unhappiness, I guess.
Yeah, I'll just say personally, like this, what happened with Facebook the other day, as someone who's old enough to have grown up without the internet and has had a very tedious relationship with social media in general, and I'm not even on Facebook or any of its
I left. I have a music page, but that's it.
it had no effect on me whatsoever, but I felt, instead of boastful about that, I felt actually a bit of empathy for people who seem to be reliant on it. Even some people who are a bit younger than me, who like despise a lot of about Facebook, but they seem to be lost without it at the same time. And that's maybe something I get out of that as well. It's not maybe just being an outlier, but I think that's one aspect of it.
Yeah, that you're able to feel empathy despite not really feeling that. Yeah, I know, I hear that. It's amazing how sort of those social media sites have made themselves so important in our lives. It's a little bit scary. Like, I'm not on it, but I still have, people can still send me messages, and I realize that I have fallen out of touch with a lot of people because I left that site, which is disturbing.
I've noticed you do use like Patreon a bit as not as a meet as social site, but kind of as a way of
Just
getting supporters and like fans as well.
I use that. I don't have, I feel like I'm always still learning how to use it, even though I've been doing it for a couple of years, but it's been quite helpful in some ways.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Now, two of the most, these two probably have nothing to do with each other, but I guess two factors I noticed about you that I found quite interesting was one, your sort of liking, or if not love of wabi-sabi. And also, at one time, I guess, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, even though I'm familiar with this band and have listened to it because of a bit of my German past, Einstürzende Neubauten. I guess on the first one with wabi-sabi, am I correct in saying it has something to do with the sort of themes of kind of an acceptance of human flaws and kind of a transience to it? Is that a correct way of
Absolutely.
saying?
I also like that you brought that up because it reminds me of my attraction to this the cigar box guitars and the recycled wood guitar that I'm getting. The I think it's I would actually say that's kind of a wabi-sabi guitar. It's embracing the fact that it was made by hand, kind of from unique materials, and then it will eventually sort of fall away, right? And I think that that aesthetic just really speaks to me kind of across the board. Even with performances, I'd prefer to have a really passionate and interesting take of a song than redo the vocal over and over until you get everything perfect. I actually like the humanity in that imperfect, almost more field recording generally.
It seems like with your music, if not all of your life, you seem to sort of want to fight back any against anything that maybe feels manufactured or produced.
Well, I think there can be like a great art in some aspects of production. A lot of the time, I find it really flattening of the things that really make it interesting. Like it sounds like it came out of a can sometimes with some very, very produced music.
Is now for music in general, I was hearing this again from your interview you did in 2020, I believe, with the radio station in Guelph, that you don't, while you yourself are not a religious person, you do find like music itself a bit of a form of prayer for yourself. And they have like almost a spiritual exercise. I don't know if you want to expand on that or not.
I can try. Well, since I don't have a religious background, it is purely something that I've come to sort of think about on my own term. But I think having something like a practice in general can be really beneficial to a person feeling sort of a bit more at home in the world. And that's why during the lockdown, especially when there's no performance, I try to work on art or music every day, regardless of the, it's not about the outcome, it's really about the practice, which I think would connect it to some form of prayer or meditation. Not sure if I answered that or if I butchered
Yeah, no,
it. They're
that's,
hard to, they're hard to talk about, I guess.
No, that's, that definitely gives me an understanding because, it at least gives me an understanding of where you're coming from. Like your music itself, I find like I would have to be, not just that there's a lot of it, but just there's a lot of layers to
Never mind the music, the lyrics itself. I would probably have to spend a while, and I probably could write a few papers on it because
Oh,
there's quite a many different elements to it. It's amazing to me, to be honest, that I didn't really know about you till a few years ago, and I consider myself a fairly, I don't knowledgeable music fan. But yeah, so I'm quite pleased to have discovered you.
thank you.
Quite pleased to have known you have like you've played here before. I hope that does happen
I
again.
really hope I get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you very much. I guess just one final thing.
Sure.
Is there some sort of track from your last release that you would find that I could play that maybe speaks to maybe where your mindset is right now, or something that you've like maybe a song you've thought more of lately in the last week or so.
Yeah, well, when you contacted me, you brought up Silver Scythe, which in some ways, I don't like to have favorite, I don't really have favorite songs, but I feel I spent a lot of time on the lyric to that song, and I felt really satisfied with how the final recording came out. Sometimes there's I don't know, there's some songs that you feel you never capture quite how you envision them, and that song sort of came together. Yes,
Yes.
I don't know if it speaks to where I am right now. It does
No.
kind of a it's it does feel kind of like an incantation or a prayer. And I was joking, kind of talking to my partner, that it sounds like a very adult or like cosmic version of Good Night Moon. Which it was not on my mind when I was writing it, but that book is quite eerie and strange when you really think about it. It's sort of just saying good night to everything in the environment.
Yeah, and you certainly see that in the video, your use of the image, like
Yeah, the old film that I.
the film that you used in that was quite I think goes with that theme of, well,
Sort of
not
like.
good night moon, at least a kind of darkness anyway.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
also, you know the song Waiting for the Night by Depeche Mode? For some reason, I felt this weird kinship, even though no one would make that comparison. I really like that song. I really like that whole album. But the spirit of that song reminds me of that Depeche Mode track.
Oh,
It's
really?
kind of like the softness, like Waiting for the Night, when all the sharp edges and everything are kind of softened by the sun being away. And I felt there's a gentleness to that song that reminds me of that sentiment.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Clara, for this. It's very, I learned quite a bit from this. And once I kind of have it put together and have it ready to put out, I can send you a copy and everything.
That'd be great. Yeah, thanks for
Yeah.
having me. It was
Yeah.
nice to
No.
chat.
No, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll
Thank
be in
you.
touch.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, take
Thanks.
care. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Sun goes down on devils and swamp things. Heiresses and petulant kings. Salamanders and wolves, bats and morning. Daffodils, baby's breath, and foxglove.
So that was the, dare I say, great Clara Engel. She's had a fascinating 17-year career of recording, sometimes with a lot of individuals. She's had her stop in places like Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as she mentioned in the interview. Mostly been around Toronto, has done a lot of home recordings on her own. She has kind of definitely a soundtrack feel to her music. I should have brought it up in the interview, but I feel she's definitely come to a way of mastering the guitar. She definitely has her own style. And I feel like she's someone I could have done an interview for endless amounts of hours. It could have been like, you know, 4 sets, 10 hours with her, because there's quite a lot to talk about. And she is her own person, she is her own artist, and I've really enjoyed it. So, that is your first taste of the corner of Hunter and George. And next time I hope to bring you someone else. Thank you very much, for listeners, for coming into this. And I'll see you next time.